The word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Welcome to the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. In this podcast, you'll receive the word of God with anointed clarity and revelation straight from the throne of grace. Now, let's join Pastor White with the word of God already in progress.
To all of these preachers of the gospel and to all of you God's children, I do again greet you with Jesus' joy. There is a word found in the 21st chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. I want to look again at verses 12 through 14. Where you find these words, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And the blind and the lame came into him in the temple, and he healed them. My house shall be called the house of prayer. You've made it into a den of thieves. So that portion of God's word I want to use as a thought this morning, bringing down the house. Look at somebody, don't scare them, smile. All right. And just tell them, bringing down the house.
Amen. Bringing down the house.
Let me, if you will, paint the picture of what is actually taking place in this passage up to this point. For you see, Jesus here has just experienced the triumphal entry. He is now entering into, he is now beginning, he is now starting the ride that is going to end in the end of his life. We find that Jesus here at the beginning of this passage is telling his disciples to go there to Jerusalem and get a donkey. Tell the owner, I have need of him. We find Jesus now riding this donkey into Jerusalem. And as he's riding this great triumphal entry, people began to lay palm branches at his feet. Another gospel writer says they took off their coats and they began to lay them as he went riding into the city. They were all yelling, Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. They were having a party on behalf of Jesus, who they believed to be their conqueror, their savior, who was going to come and overthrow the government as it was, the way they thought it would happen. But what's interesting is that as Jesus rides through the parade, as Jesus rides through the party that was in his honor, he does not stop to be a part of the party.
All right. My Lord.
It's interesting to me, because for many of us, if folks were yelling out good things to us, for us, and about us, we would get off our donkey, jump off, and join the party. But Jesus kept on riding. He kept on going. I believe he kept on going because he knew that the same folk who were crying Hosanna right now were the same folk who were going to cry crucify him in a few days. That's why you can't get hung up on folk who sing your praises today. You can't get hung up on folk who pat you on the back today. Y'all ain't praying with me in here. Because the same ones that are lifting you up right now will be the same ones to knock you down. Jesus kept on riding. He kept on going. And is interesting, he kept on going until he got to church.
Yeah.
Yeah. He ain't stopped.
My Lord.
Till he got to church.
Yeah.
Went through the party.
All right.
To get to church.
My Lord.
Passed through the parade.
Yeah.
To get to church.
Yeah.
Because Jesus understood that the party is not my destination, but I got to go through this way in order to get to Calvary's Hill. Jesus understood that I'm now taking a journey that is going to end on the cross. And knowing what he was going to have to endure, knowing what he was going to have to go through, Jesus went to church. Anybody ever found yourself dealing with situations or circumstances, trials, or tribulations that you were either going through or you knew you were about to face, and you just said, if I can just get this to the Lord. Somebody just this week, with the ups and downs you had just this week, with the trials and tribulations you had just this week, with the tragedies that you've experienced just this week, you said to yourself, I can't wait till I get to the house of God, because there was something on the inside of you that said, if I can just get this to the Lord will make a way somehow. Am I preaching to anybody in here? The Lord will make a way somehow. Jesus entered into the temple because he had to get it to the Lord, because he knew that if God is in the building,
yeah.
Ooh, God help me up in here. The anointed pace sister said it best when they said, when God is in the building, the sin sick are healed. When God is in the building, that void can be filled. He's moving by his power. He's sprinkling out his grace. I can feel his presence all over this place. When God is in the building, the sin sick are saved. When God is in the building, the dead can be raised. The trouble can leave here troubleless. And the lame can be healed. And the one seeking the Holy Ghost, yes, God, they can be filled. So we praise them in the building.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
For your grace and your love. We thank you for your anointing. You sent from above. For your wondrous works, we thank you and give you all the praise. Jesus had to go to church.
Yes, all right.
But there was something amazing that startled messed with Jesus, if you will. He gets to church.
Yeah.
Dr. Hickling, to discover they ain't having church at church.
All right now. Yeah.
Jesus goes to church.
Yeah.
To have church.
All right.
Only to discover,
yeah,
there is no church at church.
All right, Pastor. Yeah. No church
here,
church.
Several years ago, I was pastoring in the Bronx, New York. Dr. Gadsden was there. She had come there while we were in New York. She had come to be a part of the soup kitchen there. She was helping to serve as we were there, having a soup kitchen every weekend there, serving those who were in the community. And I want you to know that the International Missionary President of the Women's Home Overseas Missionary Society forgot about white, forgot about purple stoles, forgot about all of that. She rolled up her sleeves, got behind that counter, and began to serve those who were in need. Somebody ought to tell the Lord thank you right there. But while I was there in New York, Brother Slade, there was something that I was missing there that I got so excited about when Bishop Battle appointed me back to the state of North Carolina. What I was excited about was not being on home turf, not being in the Tar Heel State, not any of those reasons, but one of the things I was so excited about was Krispy Kreme donuts. I was so excited about Krispy Kreme because there wasn't no Krispy Kreme in New York City. All they had was Dunkin', and I don't care what you say. Dunkin' may have good coffee, but they ain't got good donuts. Y'all ain't helping me in here. And I was so excited that when I got to High Point, North Carolina, I Googled every Krispy Kreme that was in a 20-mile radius of where I lived. And look, don't laugh, but they text me every time the Hot Now Donut sign came on. I don't even bring my phone in the sanctuary now because I'm scared I might get a text. And if I check the text saying Hot Donuts Now, I might say, Reverend Watson, hold it down. I'll be back in a few minutes. But can you imagine going to Krispy Kreme Donuts? Some Dunkin' person got excited. To get there to the counter and say, I like to order a dozen glazed. And you got a special, buy a dozen, get a dozen free. To hear the person on the other side say, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have any donuts today. Krispy Kreme donuts. And there ain't no donuts. It's kind of like going to Starbucks. I see you, Reverend. Getting a grande caramel macchiato with extra caramel. Only to find the one on the other side saying, I'm sorry, sir. We don't have any coffee today. Starbucks coffee. Where there is
no coffee.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus went to church. The house of God. Only to discover that there was no church at the place that called itself church. Don't fool yourself, because there's a whole lot of places right now. That got pulpits and pews, choir stands and instruments, ushers and choir members. My God, that call themselves church. Oh, but there is no church going on. Don't get mad at me. I ain't talking about y'all. Well, there is no church. At church. Jesus goes in and finds that they're doing other things instead of church. Now he goes in and he casts out those, he kicks out those who are doing things and turns over tables for those who are exchanging monies. Now you got to understand here that the selling of doves and that the selling of those animals was that was a service that the temple was providing for those, because people understood that you do not come to the temple of God without having something to offer God. I gotta say it again. They knew, they understood that you do not come to the temple of God without having something to offer God. I got to say it one more time for somebody who may have missed me. You do not come to the temple of God without having something to offer God. Because if all you do is come to the house of God to receive from God, that makes you a spiritual leech. It makes you a spiritual mooch. that all you want to do is receive and to get and to grab and to have. But I need three or four folks to understand that when you come to God, you ought to say, what shall I render to God for all his mercies? So the temple was providing a service, because there were those who had to travel for miles in order to get to the temple, and it was challenging for them to be able to carry livestock and other animals as a sacrifice to the Lord. So the temple had pre-approved livestock does, if you will, that they sold to those who, when they got there, could buy their dove that they may offer it as a sacrifice to God. It was a service. Also, the currency that was used in the temple was not necessarily the currency that was used in Mesopotamia and all the other regions that people were coming from. So they had a foreign currency exchange that was right there in the temple to provide a service for those who wanted to offer unto God. So I need you to understand. I need you to understand that Jesus was not upset necessarily with the selling of doves or the changing of money.
Yeah.
Because there's some folk who love to use this text right here as a means to suggest that churches ought not sell anything. Now, I personally got to think that, let you know that if you got to sell to keep lights on, you got other issues.
Amen.
If you got to sell to keep lights on, there are other issues.
Amen.
So Jesus was not, that wasn't the concern of Jesus. It wasn't the fact that they were selling or exchanging. It was where they were doing it. You got to understand the makeup of the temple. The temple had the outer court.
Yeah.
The court of the Gentiles and the Jews, where anybody could worship the Lord. Then beyond the outer court was the inner court, where the priests could go and to worship the Lord. And beyond the inner court, beyond the veil, was the Holy of Holies, of the most holy place, where the high priest would go on the Day of Atonement with the sacrificial blood to atone for the sins of all. And it was right there in the outer court, the place where everybody could worship God, where they were selling and exchanging right there. So in other words, it's not what they were doing, but it was where they were doing it. Because they were doing it there, yeah, there were other things that were in the place where church should have been going on.
Have mercy, Lord. Yeah.
How many things even right now,
yeah,
take place in the very place where worship ought to be going on? Somebody got an attitude with me right now. Your attitude is in the place where worship ought to be going on. Did he say that? Yep. So Jesus went in and kicked it out.
Yeah.
And said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. He was quoting Isaiah.
Yeah.
My house. God's house.
Yeah.
I can hear God saying right now, look, if it's not going to be my house,
yeah,
if there's not going to be worshiping me in the house, then take my name off the house.
Amen. Yeah.
My house shall be called a house of prayer.
Amen.
God help me up in here. My house shall be called the house of prayer. My house shall be called the house of prayer. This is the place that Jesus would eventually say, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not bring it down. This is the same church that Jesus now is purging by casting it out. Can I get a witness up in here? I need you to understand, you don't come to the house of God primarily to see people. you come to be with the Lord. Look, you don't come here not on our time, not on our terms, but we desire to see a move of God in a fresh new way in our lives. Am I talking to anybody in here? Because I need you to understand that when God is not sought, there is a loss of focus. There is a loss of priorities. There's a loss of passion. There's a loss of commitment. And ultimately, there can be a loss of our relationship when we do not seek God. Yeah. Jesus went there, cast out, and said, my house shall be a house of prayer. He brought the house down. Yeah. I want to argue, weeping willow, that God needs somebody right now who will bring down the house. God needs somebody who will take the bold stand and say, that garbage don't belong up in here. God needs somebody in here who will take that bold step, that bold stand, and say, that don't belong in the house of the Lord. Am I right about that thing? Yeah. But I need you to understand that when Jesus brought down the house, and when we bring it down the house, there's several things that come in the house when we cast some stuff out. First of all, there'll be, when you bring down the house, there'll be prayer in the house. My house should be called a house of prayer. Listen, he said our house should be a house of prayer. Somebody shout prayer. But often, instead of being a house of prayer, it becomes a house of confusion. Yeah. Often, instead of being a house of prayer, it becomes a house of conformity. Often, instead of being a house of prayer, it becomes a house of calamity. Yeah, instead of being a house of prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. You need good preaching, but he did not say my house should be a house of good preaching. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate you, fellas. I'm glad to see so many men on the men's choir. I hope some more brothers will come join you. But he does not say my house should be a house of good music. That's not what he says. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And I need somebody to understand that prayer is not an easy way of getting what we want, but prayer is the only way for us to become who God wants. Is there anybody in here who understands that there's something about prayer? Is there a witness in here that prayer changes things? Is there a witness in here that prayer can change situations? That prayer can even change a people? The Bible says that man ought to always pray and faint not. Yeah, the chronicle writer said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. When you bring down the house, prayer comes in. Not only when you bring down the house will there be prayer in the house, but secondly, there'll be people in the house.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
There'll be people in the house. Listen. When he cast it out, it says, then they came in.
Yeah.
Listen. People couldn't get in because there was too much other stuff where they should have been.
Yeah,
y'all bear with me now. I don't know you yet, so you can't say I'm talking about you. But I'm looking at your faces to see if you get an attitude with me. When you got a negative attitude, a negative disposition, a mean spirit, ain't nobody coming in the house. When you nasty, snarling up your nose, acting like everybody is beneath you, below you, and behind you, nobody is going to come in the house. But when you bring it down the house, my God, casting out negativity, casting out adversary, casting out mean spirit, that's when people, can I preach up in here? That's when people can come in the house. I want you to know, 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 we're going to bring down the house. I said it last week, we going down Milton Road, we going to bring down the house. We going down the plaza, we going to bring down the house. We going up Sharon Amity, we going to bring down the house. We going up Central Avenue, we going to bring down the house. We going to Hampshire Hill, my God, we'll go all the way to North Lake. We going to bring, and when we do, people will be in the house. But wait. Not only will there be people in the house, but there'll be people with problems in the house. There'll be people with problems. Because check it out. When he, Reverend, when he cast them out, people came in. But check it out. It says, it's right there in the word. He cast them out. They were blind and lame.
Amen.
They were people, but they had problems. But they were in the house. You see, our problem is we've been in the house so long that we forgot how we were when we were outside the house. We've been in the house so long that we forgot that we too were once blind and withered and lame. Don't look at me like you've been saved all your life. Don't look at me like you came out of the womb speaking in tongues. Truth of the matter is, you had some issues. You had some challenges. Some of you still carrying them. You just cover them with your church attire. But oh, when you bring it to the house, the Bible says the lame came in, the blind came in, and he healed them. Listen, I need somebody to understand. Don't come to the house acting like you ain't got no problems. You ought to bring your problems to the house. Because when you get it to the house, God will, he'll turn it around. There'll be prayer in the house. There'll be people in the house. They'll have their problems in the house. Oh, but can I get a witness that he'll turn your problems into your praise? And when you bring down the house, there'll be praise in the house. The Bible says that when the blind were healed, that when the lame were healed, they began to give God praise. Isn't that the right thing to do when the Lord has made a way in your life? Isn't that the right thing to do, to give God the glory for what the Lord has done in... Yeah, you ought to tell somebody, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Has the Lord made a way in your life? Has the Lord opened doors in your life? Has the Lord healed your sick bodies? Has the Lord turned your children around? That's enough reason right there to give God the praise.
We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired by the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and or seeking a church home, please feel free to worship with us at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church, located at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Our order of services are as follows. Sunday morning worship with the preached word at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study, 12 noon and 6:30 p.m. And every first Sunday, Holy Communion. For more information about Weeping Willow, please go online to www.weepingwillowamez.org or call 704-532-9125 or via email at wwillowchurch@aol.com. Finally, if this podcast has encouraged and inspired you, please come visit us at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
This is Enrico White, pastor of the Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. I'm personally inviting you to join us for the experience. Experience the word. Experience the worship. Experience the witness at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have two wonderful worship experiences, 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Come be revived. Come be renewed as lives are being touched, hearts are being transformed. Weeping Willow is located 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Or look for us on the web, weepingwillowamez.org. We'll see you real soon.